Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Dr. Lorraine Goodwin. I'm your host for Carpe Diem, Dr. Lorraine Goodwin, and the show will last approximately 30 minutes. I have an interest in this current case with, Lamar Odom, and so I just thought I would talk about that for a few minutes and maybe some other related stories because I find it very interesting. This whole situation with Lamar and his current health situation and just the whole subject in general. My background is in mental health, and I want this to be a program for people who are interested in all of the curiosities of life. What's going on around us? What does life really mean? Why do we get these messages from various people? How do these strangers affect our lives? And those are the kinds of issues that I'm interested in and that I'll be talking about. Well, this situation, Lamar had spent, I guess, a week at a brothel where he was paying thousands of dollars to stay in a room. It was a very large room. I think it had it was like an apartment or maybe a mini house, something. And he had access to at least two girls that he specifically chose, and I guess they could invite in as many girls as they wanted to, and they would have sex parties as long as and whenever he wanted. He was in the process of divorcing Khloe Kardashian, she really liked Lamar. I don't know why. But, you know, what was funny to me is after I saw how quickly she and Lamar connected and then they wanted to get married and did get married, is when I saw a Basketball Wives or one of those shows, and Lamar's ex-wife was on the show, and she looked like an older Khloe Kardashian. She looked like Khloe Kardashian would look, you know, she gained some weight and, you know, were a little older. So he had a type of girl. And Khloe, looking like his wife at a younger stage, really appealed to him. And so I could understand why he wanted to marry Khloe Kardashian. And, of course, Khloe had always been very insecure about her genetics because she didn't look like the other girls, and there was always this rumor that her father was someone different, possibly even a black man. You know, I didn't think that. She doesn't look at all genetically black. But that was still a rumor, which I think certainly played with her insecurities, played with her mind over the years, and made her much more susceptible to finding what she felt was true love in this in Lamar and how he presented himself. Plus, he was very rich and was going to make her a very, bring her into a very nice lifestyle, which would also be independent of her mother and take her out from under the umbrella of her sister Kim Kardashian, who was pretty much the star in the family. So anyway, she married Lamar, and the other thing that was interesting with me and Lamar, as I discussed back when I did my little spiel on Caitlyn Jenner, is that Khloe did not want her stepdad, who she had known since she was a little girl, maybe eight or less, as her father. And she, although Bruce Jenner, now Caitlyn, considered Khloe his daughter because he had raised her from such a young age. Khloe had a lot of problems with Bruce that I didn't understand at that time, and she didn't want Bruce to walk her down the aisle. But anyway, he eventually did walk her down the aisle, and things seemed to heal over, and she got married and lived for a while in a huge house. I mean, it was just her and Lamar. I don't know why they would need such a huge house, but they bought a huge, huge house. And what also in that show, as I also mentioned in my past recording about Caitlyn Jenner, one of, I didn't watch the Kardashians that often, but the few times I watched it, I did pop in for one episode where Bruce Jenner was sleeping, hanging around the house and sleeping in the house and didn't have any money because his wife wouldn't give him enough money. And he was asking Khloé to get money from Lamar in order for whatever it is he wanted to do. And Khloé said, yes, she would get it. And so really, really weird dynamic there. And especially to have it portrayed on television and especially to have it be an American Idol, Bruce Jenner. But anyway, so Lamar was caught up in this crazy Kardashian dynamic, plus had his own craziness, the fact that he married somebody who looked like his ex-wife, and he had this drug problem, and he had other things, and he was very, very rich from his basketball. And, of course, he's just a stature. I mean, he stood out in a crowd because he was so very, very tall. So it was an interesting story, and Khloé, she's fairly naive sexually, and it was also interesting. After she got married, she was in a tub, and she was trying to send him sexy pictures. Well, I'm sure Lamar, from his past history, had been in some very raunchy sexual situations, and this very innocent picture of Khloé Kardashian in a bathtub was probably cute to him, but was probably not what he was used to from his sexual exploitation through the basketball team and the other girls he had met in his travels. So it also showed to me that she was very naive, and they were going to have to meet somewhere where she was going to have to grow up fast, and he was going to have to bring his mind back to a situation where he would be happy with a single person in a marriage situation. Of course, we all know that didn't work out, and he did leave, and she was left in the house, and she was moaning and pining for him, and eventually she had to, you know, she was being inundated with rumors of his sexual exploits and his drugging and so forth. And she eventually had to admit that the marriage was over, and she went into the divorce situation. I guess he signed the papers, she signed the papers, but the attorney never filed the papers. So here we are today with Lamar out still having a sexual exploit in a brothel, taking Viagra, taking other drugs, who knows what all he took. And many people who use cocaine and things like that often mix the drugs. You know, and I know many people who try to do analysis on addicts, and they're always trying to give, you know, what addicts do and don't do. The fact is addicts will take almost any drug, mix them up. They're very good chemists. They get to learn a lot about the drug, which is why they're always ahead of the medical community, the addictive prevention community, because the addicts are mixing and trying new things all the time, and the therapeutic community is back with the old standards, and they're not realizing that these people are turning into very adventurous chemists in their home with all the drugs that they have access to. So anyway, Lamar, with his drugs of who knows what kind, but he also took Viagra because he wanted that long, long, prolonged erection that Viagra, Cialis, and all those other things promise, and which can cause hypotension. One way in which they get those blood vessels enlarged is to relax the pressure on the blood vessels. The blood rushes to those areas, and so you're going to lower your blood pressure. Sounds like a good idea. for people who have blood pressure, and Lamar might have had high blood pressure. But having a drug that's going to give you hours of lowered blood pressure can cause a problem. And we'll have to wait for the drug analysis to see exactly what it took and to kind of figure out what really happened to him. Because we don't know if he also had an underlying problem. A person who's that tall can have some genetic problems that may not have been diagnosed, because a lot of times, even though those players are making millions of dollars, the people who own the teams just want those players to play and to generate profit, and they're not really that interested in making sure that their bodies are in tip-top shape. So sometimes heart problems and other problems, lung problems, can sneak in. Or you can even have a stroke and be totally healthy, pass every test, and look like you're doing great and just go on and have a stroke of some sort. So we won't know for a while exactly what he took according to the testing. And some drugs you take just don't test out. You can't figure out what they took, especially if there's some of these more custom-made drugs. So we'll know some of the drugs he took, possibly all of the drugs he took, but there's also a chance that he took other things which won't be found in the drug testing. So that'll be a while for that to come out. Anyway, so here we have Lamar now passed out in a brothel. And I'll tell you, that brothel they showed looks absolutely horrid. It doesn't look at all. It looks like a couple of, to me, it looks like some trailers in a desert. But anyway, it's very plain-looking wood stairs going into some sort of office, and then they have, I guess, where he was staying, another trailer or whatever it is, and a big bed. And then he has some couches and stuff and some chairs, very drabby looking. And then the owner came out and showed the spa, which is one of those portable spas. And to keep the lid on it, they had a brick. So that was very visually unappealing. And he says they have a swimming pool. I mean, it just looks extremely, extremely tacky. But the price, they said, it was very high, and I can't remember. It was thousands and thousands of dollars to stay at this place. And, of course, the attraction isn't the room or the furniture or such. It's the girls and the sexual acts they perform, and the fact that with what he paid them, he put on a credit card, the fact that whatever he paid them included girls at his beck and call, and they would bring him his food and all that other stuff. So the girls come, find him stretched out on the bed, I guess, unconscious. They call for help. They eventually do get him out. They say they bring in a helicopter, but he's too big. Well, it seems to me that even if he's too big in some way or another, they can get most of his body in there, and that they would be able to fly him the short distance to a hospital. But anyway, they decide they can't, and they drive him. So that sounds a little bizarre, because first of all, they know how tall he is initially. So, well, I'm not even going to speak on that, because I'm not exactly sure what their thinking was, but the whole thing sounds pretty bizarre that they couldn't get him into a helicopter for medical care. I mean, how far can it be from the city he was in for the prostitute to, I imagine they have everything in Las Vegas, Nevada, so it can't be that far. But anyway, they drive him to medical care, then he gets up in the intensive care on a ventilator in the on life support, and Chloe comes in, and she is made the person in charge of his health care. Now, I don't know if Lamar has a mother or father or any brothers or sisters or anything, but to me it just seems very, very strange that the person in charge of your health care is the person you just divorced. Most divorces have a lot of anger, bitterness, I hate you, you hate me sort of stuff in it. And yet, Lamar ends up with the person he just divorced and abandoned in this house as the person who's taking care of him. I don't know Chloe's motivation. I don't know anything about her as far as her real reason for wanting to marry Lamar. But certainly, money was part of it. And when you put the person in charge of your health care as the person who just signed divorce papers, and the person who's dying or who's in, having health problems is extremely rich. I mean, her benefit would be to let him die because she wasn't going to be with him anymore. He was doing drugs. He was with all these women of the street. And many women would just think, you know, let him go. I'll get the money. And then it works out for her. So who in the world made this decision to put Chloe in charge is just very, very strange because she is the beneficiary of his death since the judge never signed the divorce papers. And I guess the best thing to do would be to have the judge sign the divorce papers as soon as possible, so at least that motivation is taken away. I mean, it's not going to be that they're still married because of a technicality. And that would take her motivation for taking care of Lamar away from the money because probably since Chloe already has a lot of money, although she doesn't get the money that Kim has, and she doesn't have the businesses that Kim has, you know, she still has a money motivation. But I think she still has a lot of money and a potential for a lot of money, but not, you know, again, I said it's limited. But his children, not his first wife or Chloe, should probably be the benefactors of wealth. You know, giving, I don't know how much Lamar has, but giving some to his first and second wives would be nice, too, because they did both say they loved him very much, you know. So it'll be interesting, but that's just a whole strange situation. And, of course, the Kardashians, who always tend to gain money. I don't know what it is about them, but that family always seems to run into millions of dollars very easily. They've turned this whole Lamar situation into another few episodes, I guess, of the Kardashian situation. And you see the mom and Kim and everybody coming into the room, and one reporter on a radio station said, and Lamar, they said, reached out and held the hand of, and they can't remember whether it was Kim or Chloe. Well, that's a big difference. And why would Lamar reach out and hold the hand of Kim? You know, very strange. It'd be interesting to watch. I predict with the Kardashians blockading everybody from coming in and making everybody feel uncomfortable about being in there. I don't know how comfortable his genetic children would feel coming into a room that filled up with the Kardashian family. Maybe they'll feel comfortable, maybe they won't. But just a little strange. And, you know, he must have an uncle. He must have somebody else on his family side. I'm sure he has a brother or a sister or somebody who would also be have a genetic interest in Lamar. But you haven't seen any of them. None of them have been on the news, so it'll be just interesting. So why would a person of Lamar's stature be so cut off from people that he would go to a brothel? Well, one, you could say maybe he was going to kill himself in the first place. Maybe that was his whole motivation for going there. Maybe he wanted to die, and he felt placed to kill himself would be in a brothel. I've heard many, many people over my lifetime express that, mostly males, express that the best way they would want to die was having sex, you know, in a place where I think they normally envision themselves with a prostitute, and they envision themselves having some wild sex and so forth, and then dying. So maybe his whole purpose in visiting the brothel was that he had been in a depression and wanted to kill himself and felt that this would be the perfect way to die, since he was still young and wasn't going to probably, unless he knew he had a health problem. Sometimes people who are diagnosed with a health problem also can't face it, especially if they're having problems in their personal life and they want to kill themselves. So he might have also been given some kind of health diagnosis. Or it could have been related to his job. He had a huge identity with being a basketball player, and it could have been that just being unable to continue to play basketball as a pro with a big salary and the fans and the hoopla and so forth really depressed him. So he had a lot of avenues of potential depression, and there's a chance, a huge chance that he was going to make this his final day, and he was going to kill himself, and took all of these drugs, all of these medications, because he had taken them all before, so he knew that they all had a significant effect on his body, and I think he just overtook the medication, and there was no one there to rescue them. A lot of people who want to kill themselves will do fake attempts and then plan to have somebody come rescuing. Or maybe he felt taking these pills was a way to have a suicide attempt, call for help, call for attention, call for a need that his he was in a bad mental state, and he expected the prostitutes to be around to rescue him. He expected them to come into the room to check on him or to just be there and maybe in another room coming in and out. But they weren't there. They weren't there in time anyway. And they said he was foaming at the mouth when the or through the nose or whatever when the prostitute came in. So she did come in. She did eventually rescue him, but it may have been just too late. And that's really, really common for people who are suicidal to call attention. They don't really want to die, but they want to have a really good suicide attempt so that people will know that they are struggling and that they need help and that they need more attention and so forth. So this brings Lamar back into the family. You know, the Kardashian family had been left with only Kanye, and of course the mother's new boyfriend, who we've been hearing about, this young guy who's been having forceful sex with the mom. She seems happy, but you know, it's just too much when you're older. You don't want that kid type sex, but she says she loves it, she's having a great time, and what a crazy family. But it brings Lamar back into the family with Kanye and this other guy, so this would be a family where almost all of the white men have been chased out. The brother has been in significant depression and pretty much separates himself from the family. And then Bruce left the family and became a woman. What a crazy family. Now, in Europe or third world country, this must all seem pretty bizarre. It seems bizarre to us in the United States, so you can just imagine how this plays out throughout the world when they listen to the American family and what's going on and what kind of lives we're living, what kind of values we have, what kind of people we are, it really doesn't bode well as to our mental state and to our family connection. So we should all, I don't know, should we wish Lamar to come back if he's trying to kill himself? Maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we should just let him die a peaceful death and move on, and everyone can fight over his money, and he won't have to continue with the life he was living of drugs and prostitution and being out of his job. Yeah. But we'll wish him well anyway. And so, okay, so I've spoken about Lamar, I've spoken about the brothels, and then I wanted to mention that Playboy has decided to give up nudity in its magazine. Well, that's pretty bizarre because the articles that Playboy used to write are pretty much all over the internet, easy to read, easy to access, and you certainly aren't going to be able to charge a lot of money for the types of articles that Playboy used to write. So is Playboy just going to fizzle out? I think part of it might be also that this big lawsuit with Bill Cosby, which involves Playboy, they're going to be subpoenaing all of those records from Playboy. Who was visiting on the night that Bill Cosby was there, all the men that were there, all the women that were there, all of that's going to come out in the court. And a lot of other stuff about Bill Cosby and the Playboy mansion and the whole business is going to come out in that Bill Cosby suit, and that's going to be one to watch because a lot of people are going to be uncovered and embarrassed. How many kids were in that mansion anyway? And how many people were taking those drugs? Oh, my goodness. The rich world is just a mess. Well, talk to you later. Thanks for listening. And Dr. Lorraine Goodwin, signing out from Carpe Diem. Dr. Lorraine Goodwin, have a great day. Bye-bye.